We've got our own dark tale, a real life dark tale, talking about a missing persons and serial killers. Jim Carnes and his family are tortured by the lack of knowledge about what happened to their father, who's been missing since April. Pat Carnes, his car was found, but no sign of him or his dog, Lucky. Curtis Call is the lawman who is concentrating so much of his energies on trying to help the Carnes family resolve this mystery, because by solving this one, he might be able to help solve a lot more. I mean, this could be a lot bigger than any of us realize. There could be many more, nine or more missing persons in that area, which suggests that a serial killer has been operating, or more than one, has been operating in that area for a long time. A lot of interesting calls coming in. I know I promised to have open lines and talk about other things, but if you don't mind, Coast to Coast listeners, and apparently you don't, as long as we've got truckers calling in with their own hints, I'd like to stick with this. I mean, because the next call we take could be the one that gives us that piece of information that resolves this matter, or puts a Curtis Call on the road to solving it. We've got some offers from psychics who have said that they will offer their services to help, and I'll be passing that information along. Also had some offers from video experts who say that they're going to have methods and ideas for enhancing the images that we've posted on the Coast to Coast website, and we'll be taking you up on that as well. When we come back, right back to the phones, we'll see what's on your mind. I'm George Knapp, in tonight for George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Jim Carnes, I'm sure it's occurred to a lot of our listeners that maybe your dad picked up a hitchhiker. Would you explain why that seems unlikely?
That would be very unlikely. My older brother Ken did pick up hitchhikers back in the early 70s. He picked up a man and a woman, and they ended up pulling a gun on him and walking him out into the desert. This is out near Ely, Nevada, 40-some years ago, and shot him in the head. It bounced off his skull. He faked that he died, and they drove away. He crawled up to the highway, got a ride into town. And ever since then, I don't know if any of our family members ever picked up a hitchhiker again. So my dad would never do that.
My gosh, I mean, to have that kind of tragedy to strike your family, it's eerie. It's terrible.
Yeah, this it took us all by surprise too. And keep in mind, this is back in the day when everyone hitchhiked. It was, I don't know if it was safe back then, but it seemed to be. And
I know I did it. I knew it did it
yeah,
back in those days, sure.
me also. I hitchhiked, quite a few places, and I shouldn't have done that. But after Brother Ken had that happen to him, I never picked anyone else
And
up.
your dad wouldn't have done that either.
No way. He would never have done that. Maybe someone befriended him at a gas station, came over and talked to him about Lucky, or because Lucky was just that type of dog where he'd wag his tail and you'd want to pet him. So, I mean, that may be a
A
situation.
possibility. And Curtis, you've been going to gas stations all along I-80 and looking for witnesses or video, haven't you?
Oh yeah. Yeah. In fact, just last week made another trip out to Wells and then out to Wendover. But kind of going on just what Jim said with the hitchhiker, not only would Pat not pick up a hitchhiker, but then likewise, because of that, we would have to believe that he himself then would also not hitchhike and put himself in the same potential danger that his son was, so many decades ago.
Plus, the hitchhiker doesn't quite explain the scenario. One hitchhiker doesn't leave that car out there.
Right. And it doesn't, and then somebody picking up the dog as well. It really has the feeling to it, to us, of a pair of at least to accomplish getting Pat, getting Lucky, and putting the car where it was. It's two people somehow.
Well, that's pretty spooky. There's a team of killers, possibly killers, or at least abductors operating out there on this interstate highway. Tell me this, you know, people get so used to watching these detective shows, CSI, this case is solved in an hour with amazing scientific, technical capabilities, fibers, fingerprints. Did you look for that stuff in the car?
Oh yeah, the car immediately was sealed, and then we processed it. Again, being a small rural agency, we contract with the crime lab over at Washoe County, over at Reno, and they processed the car. And again, there was just no evidence that really anything took place in that car. All of Pat's luggage didn't appear to be disturbed. It just literally, I mean, Pat just literally vanished. I mean, we had trackers at the location. We had horrible, horrible spring weather here this past couple months, and so we may have lost, you know, some track and what have you because of snow and real heavy rains. But it just has this appearance that Pat just—he was there and then he was just gone.
So, assuming the worst, and Jim, you'll apologize. I apologize in advance for raising this possibility, but assuming the worst happened to Pat Carnes, and you didn't find any remains out there in the area that you searched, the possibility that they took him somewhere else and did what?
Well, if this is a truck scenario, you know, which is very, very viable, what's disturbing about this is that Pat could actually be anywhere. I mean, Interstate 80, you know, will go into California, and then it'll connect with 395 in Reno, going up to Oregon and Washington and Canada, and literally Pat could be anywhere. And that's, you know, the concern, and like Jim talked about earlier, is kind of this very reluctant belief or finally this dawning that you know what, if he was okay and if he was in a hospital somewhere and they had an unidentified John Doe, you know, an elderly man, he would have been fingerprinted by now, or some other law enforcement agency would have made some sort of effort to look at other missing persons that fit his description, and we would have married up our information with some other agency. But that, like I said, it's been 10 weeks, 2 days ago, this past Wednesday.
Jim Carnes, I know this is a small amount of comfort, but I'll tell you, I've never had email and fast blast response to any show, any topic, the kind that we're getting tonight. And coast to coast listeners are really stepping up to the plate there. Your story has touched them. They want to help. We're going back to the phones right now, east of the Rockies, Tony in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Hi, Tony. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, George. I'm listening since the show started. I'm a senior. And I'm thinking maybe the sheriff could go back as far as he can, find out who was on Social Security, because it looks like all three of these that you talked about this evening are getting checks, and just look for any activity on their Social Security numbers, and especially changes of address, a post office box number, some motel someplace.
Yeah,
Someone's raking in their bucks.
yeah, we've done that,
Okay.
especially with we looked at that too with Mrs. Casita, the case from '06,
All right.
and so far, no activity whatsoever on her accounts. And then Jim and his family, along with the Reno Police Department, have been helping us monitor Pat's accounts in Reno, and there's been just absolutely no activity. And Pat didn't carry a cell phone as well, which leaves us high and dry in terms of trying to use the cell phone in an effort to try to track him.
What
Okay,
about?
maybe they're waiting for these numbers to cool off. Can you go back further and find out if there was similar cases, and then see if there was activity?
Sure, great idea. Yeah, thank you very much.
Okay.
Appreciate the call. What about robbery for Pat, that somebody just takes him for the cash that he has on him at the time? Jim, did your dad carry a lot of cash on a trip like this? Would he?
You know, it's kind of relative. Is $1,000 a lot, or maybe 500?
Yeah,
I
right.
mean,
If
that's
somebody right
probably,
rob you for 20 bucks today.
well, and that's the whole thing. He wouldn't have. I mean, if he had more than $1,000 on him, I would be surprised. But yeah, no, believe me, that theory is. We've thought about that many times, that, you know, maybe they just get whatever cash they can on any suspect if they do grab somebody, and they just take the cash, and that's good.
West of the Rockies, Dave in Winchester, California. Good morning, Dave.
My idea was, first of all, does the detective know how much gas was in the car itself, what it read?
Yes.
Okay. Taking that gas and knowing there's probably 300 to 400 mile radius or whatever it is for the Subaru, going back to each of the truck stops, if you use this plastic, which most people do, they use a plastic to buy their gas, pay for their meals. That plastic would tell you if, perhaps, he even paid for more than just a meal, treating the truck driver or whatever. And the plastic, you can call and find out where the plastic was used. And I'm thinking if the family members get the plastic, call up and say, I want all the activity on this, they'll tell them. Oh,
hey, Dave, I think I like the way you're thinking, and I'm pretty sure that Curtis has been down this road already.
Yeah, unfortunately, Pat was just, like Jim said, Pat was just, this is a grandpa and a World War II vet, and he lived a simpler way than what we do today, and no cell phone, no answering machine, and also, unfortunately, no credit cards. This was a fella that Jim was telling me is a cash transaction and traveling with cash. So, unfortunately, that takes credit cards out of the investigative.
But Dave, Dave, we appreciate your thoughts, because that's exactly where Curtis and Jim were heading themselves. But Pat was an old school guy, didn't use plastic. First time caller, John in Seattle. Good morning, John.
Hi, good morning, George. How are you?
Okay.
Hey, just want to let you know, with all due respect to Mr. Norrie, you're my favorite host on here, and given the subject matter tonight, I felt compelled to call for the first time. Mr. Carnes, I wish you all the best, all my prayers and everything, all my good energy is with you, and I hope that we do find your father. A couple of theories here. First off, I was curious if, instead of just psychics in general, has any law enforcement agencies thought of using remote viewing, such as Ed Dames and the Steve Fawcett situation, and how he was so accurate in finding a radius in which Fawcett's remains were eventually found? And secondly, did your dad carry a firearm with him? Because if he was potentially robbed and that firearm was pawned, maybe they could trace back the serial number off of that. That was another theory that I came up with while waiting on the air.
Okay. Yeah, Jim, did your dad carry a gun?
No, he did not. No, he didn't carry a gun. And believe me, most of the family members will probably be packing.
Yeah.
Curtis, sorry.
I can imagine that. John, that's
I don't blame you, Jim.
Yeah, John, that's a good...
The remote viewing idea, has anyone explored that?
Well, I'll take that question, because we have, when I first met Jim, we raised that subject. His family had considered psychics. I mentioned about remote viewing, and I think we're going to arrange that. I think you mentioned Ed Dames, and you know that there are some other names that I know and have been on this program that George knows as well, and I think we're going to get one of those guys to help out. No guarantees, of course, but John, I like the way you're thinking, and we're heading down the same road. Thank you for the call. Will, on a wild card line, is trucking in Wisconsin. Will, how you doing this morning?
Good morning there. The thing is, I got a little information about a 79-year-old man that was in a tractor trailer on this past Wednesday, the 22nd. I'm looking at my logbook. The 22nd, this past Wednesday. But before I give that information, you know, I just like to say that there's with an industry with 3 million employees, like truck driving, there's, you know, always going to be some bad apples, just like in the military, the police, congressmen and senators. They're going to be bad apples in the bunch. But the majority of truck drivers are really good people, hardworking, you know, husbands and wives, and would do anything to help anybody at any time. Matter of fact, there's a lot of hero truck drivers that have saved a lot of lives over the years, you know.
Hey, Will, we are right there with you. We are right there with you, and that's why I was sure that the truck drivers who make up such an important part of the Coast audience would come to the rescue and pitch in and help give some information. And Curtis, the first time I talked to you about this case, you went out and made a point of saying, look, this is not about truck drivers.
No, absolutely. And like we said, I mean, this truck we're looking for could be just exactly what the caller is talking about. This could be the hero that will end up telling us, you know, exactly what did happen to Pat. You know, that Pat met up with somebody else down the road in a van or what have you. I mean, this just because we're looking for this particular truck, this doesn't at all mean that this is a suspect. This just means that this is somebody that it appears to us that Pat was following this fella and knew that it was a him because he said, I'm following him, and that he knew he was going to Elko. So this guy just may be the last person other than the Highway Patrol trooper to have ever seen Pat, and may help us then fill in the blanks from the traffic stop to wherever.
Yeah, that trucker out there, whoever he was, he's not necessarily going to be arrested. He is literally a person of interest, not necessarily a suspect. So, Will, your point is well taken. I don't know what you mean about the 79-year-old man in the truck. Can you elaborate?
Yeah, well, that's what a basic reason I'm calling. Wednesday the 22nd, coming out of Nashville, Tennessee, just this past Wednesday, between 1 and 2 p.m., I was on Interstate 24 headed west, and a trucker headed east made a break on the CB, and he's looking for somebody to give a 79-year-old man a ride to the Nashville VA hospital. And almost 20 years on the road, it just sounded odd to me because he said that he picked up this 79-year-old man. The trucker on the CB said he picked up a 79-year-old man and he was needing a ride to the Nashville VA hospital. I've never really heard a break like that. I hear about him picking up other people, but not a 79-year-old man. And, of course, I was headed west. I was going the other direction. And I assume that the VA hospital was probably in downtown Nashville where it would be, you know, kind of tough to get a tractor trailer close to that, you know, just to let somebody off. And he was trying to get this man a ride to the VA hospital. I've already contacted the sheriff's department out in Nevada, and I told them this information too. And I hope that this is your dad. And if it's not, you know, I hope that your dad's safe.
Well, thank you so much.
Will, appreciate the call, and I guess it'd be worth a phone call to the Nashville VA hospital to see what was going on there. I'm not sure we have enough time to take another call before the break here. We do not. Is that what I'm being told? We don't. You know, it occurs to me Whitey Bulger, this mob guy who was on the run for 16 years, was just caught, and it was really because the FBI reached out to a targeted audience. They put out some information on daytime TV, hoping that people might spot Whitey Bulger's girlfriend because she goes to beauty parlors and goes to the dentist. And darn if that strategy didn't work. And I hope the same kind of strategy is going to work for us here. We're looking at a targeted audience of truckers and law enforcement people and others in the coast-to-coast community, and we'll see if that works as well. Mamas and Papas taking us into the break. We'll be back next with more of your calls for Jim Carnes and Curtis Call here on Coast to Coast AM. I know that for the people of a pretty town like Winnemucca or a nice town like Battle Mountain, it must seem so foreign to consider the possibility that someone who is there among them, one of their neighbors, somebody who lives next door or who travels through their towns on a regular basis, might be a serial killer. It's hard for any of us to get our heads around something like that. And then you read an article like this one that I pulled off in preparation for this show. This is a Reuters story. It is a trucker suspected in a series of rapes and murders of prostitutes across the United States has been arrested. This is a story from February 10th, 2011. And where was he arrested? Right here in Las Vegas. The guy now facing all sorts of charges and It can happen. It does happen. We're exploring those possibilities with Jim Carnes, whose father, Pat, has been missing since April, and with Curtis Call, the lawman who's trying to help solve this case and perhaps a whole bunch of cases. And it seems to have touched a nerve with you folks out there in coast-to-coast land as well, because we've got a tremendous number of emails. The phone lines are still full. We're going to ride this out and see if maybe some of you can provide the clue that helps Curtis Call bring this case to resolution. We'll be right back with more of your calls after this on Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Knapp in tonight for my pal George Norrie. We're going right back to the phones. Rod in Sacramento, California. Good morning, Rod. What's on your mind?
Hey, George. How are you doing?
Okay.
Hey, I've got an interesting question looking at that page on the left-hand side, the truck in the passing lane.
Right.
That's not a K or a symbol. That is calligraphy style S. For Schillig. And I think you can see the small capital G towards the right-hand side.
Curtis, is that one that you looked at?
No, not one that we've heard of. How do you...
I drove for almost 20 years before I retired, and they're quite common on I-80. They're an East Coast company. I'd say Indiana further back.
And what's the name of the company again, sir?
Schilling?
Schillig.
S-C-H.
S-C-H-I-L-L-I-G, I believe. Because they're predominantly an I-80 carrier.
Huh. Well, Rod, that's worth checking out.
Definitely look into that one.
Okay, because I've seen that so often that... I just can't get it out of my mind.
Rod, appreciate the call. We'll check in on it. Thank you. And for Curtis, you've had a lot of help from truckers who want to help you solve this thing, and so many different suggestions. Hey, I know it's this. I know it's that. But all that information is valuable because you can cross, even if it's not the right one, you can cross something off the list.
Most definitely. Yeah, we, and Jim and I have talked about this. As time goes on, things, the calls start to dry up, but we every single call that comes in, we run it down, we call the company, and just take it as far as we can take it to try to eliminate whether or not that's potential or not.
Well, it's not drying up tonight, let me tell you. No. The phone lines are full, and we're going to get to as many of them as we can. We're going to Dewey, who is trucking in Iowa. Good morning, Dewey.
Hello, George. I wanted to give my information on the trailer, what I thought of it, too, but has either of you thought about checking with Qualcomm or Prepass?
I'm not familiar with what those are.
No. Qualcomm is the major GPS tracking company that most of the big trucking companies use. If you subpoena them, you should be able to get every truck that's equipped with a Qualcomm unit that was in the area that night, regardless what company they work for.
And that's Qualcomm?
Yes, Q-U, I believe.
Q-U-A-L, yeah.
Yeah, C-O-M.
So they provide the GPS systems that most of the truckers use?
Yeah.
Or the trucking companies. Did you mention another name?
Prepass. It's the little radio transmitters that are mounted on windshields of trucks now that you... scoot past the scale houses. It'll tag the truck as it goes by. The scale house there in Utah, if you went past it, they should be able to pull the records of every pre-pass equipped truck that went through that night.
That's pre-pass?
Yeah, pre-pass. P-R-E-P-A-S-S.
Tell me this, Dewey, what kind of trucks would not have a GPS? I mean, is that almost universal these days, or are there plenty out there that wouldn't have it at all?
Well, most owner-operators wouldn't, unless they were leased to a company that required it. It's mainly the bigger companies like Swift, Knight,
the fleets, the ones, the companies with fleets, right?
Yeah, fleet services, ones that want their drivers reporting in when they've got their loads and when they picked them up and all that stuff. But they ping in every half hour to an hour and it'll give the location of where they are during that time.
Dewey, I want to thank you very much for that call. That's a good lead, yes, and sir. We appreciate it. Did you have something else?
Yeah, about the back of the truck. To me, that doesn't look like it's a K or anything like that. To me, it looks like it's the first three letters of logistics with a globe as the O. That right door, to me, looks like it's a replacement door, like it's been damaged and replaced. And that's why there's nothing on that side.
Logistics?
Yeah, logistics.
Okay.
I've been searching. I made it home while I was waiting to get on, but I've been searching, trying to look up any company with logistics in the name, but I haven't found anything yet that would match that.
Well, I'll probably tell you what, if you do find anything, would you just email me and I'll pass it along to these fellas?
I sure would.
Dewey, thank you very much for the call. We're going east of the Rockies, Allen in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Good morning, Allen.
Hey, George. Got to make it fast. My phone's going dead.
Okay.
Have y'all decided to check to see if there's any bites people have had that report to the hospital? Is that from a dog in case that dog decides to attack the attacker?
No, we've checked the hospitals, obviously, for Pat. Lucky had a pretty good disposition. When the Highway Patrolman stopped Pat, you can see Lucky's tail wagging and
and
pretty good disposition. Not really an attack type.
Okay,
type.
Well, I know that, but a lot of times, if you own a dog. And he's loyal to you.
Right.
If the owner's being attacked, that dog will come to the owner's aid.
Yeah, that's a good idea, though.
Yeah.
That's a good point, Alan. And, Jim, would Lucky rise up to defend your dad?
You know, boy, I hope so. I think he would. I mean, they were 24/7 together.
Well, it seemed like he would. Yeah, I mean,
that's
yeah,
a very
I
good
hope
point.
So anyway. But our blessings are with y'all, and I hope everything comes out okay for y'all.
Well, thank you so much.
All right,
thanks,
thank
Alan.
You.
Thanks. Right. Thanks for the call. West of the Rockies, you in Phoenix. Good morning, you.
How are you doing tonight, George?
Okay.
I used to run I-80. I run local now. I'm just kind of wondering if there's a radio man that has a Winnebago motorhome. Him and his wife. And I have had my radio done by him about three different times. Once over in Winnemucca, and like I said, he's in a Winnebago motorhome. Once in Elko, once in Winnemucca, and once right there at the exit for the salt flats down there. And we got to talking about it, and he seemed a little bit on the odd side to me, but a lot of those guys do. But he said that he spends a lot of time up there, up on I-80, and that's where he makes all of his money, you know, all the way from when the weather gets bad, all the way from Sacramento, Reno, and then all the way across. And he mentioned something about, you know, spending a lot of time up in Idaho.
Do you mean that he goes and repairs, does it like a mobile repair service on I-80 or does work for truckers?
Exactly. He's got, excuse me, I was in his motorhome. He's got a complete set of, you know, the gauges and all the monitors and meters and everything else set up in there. Him and his wife live in it. They don't have any place to, you know, from what I could figure out, that they call home. He said he likes to move around a lot. He's got a big radio that he talks to the drivers out there. He advertises, he gets on the radio and advertises that he does radio repair. That's how he makes his money. excuse me, so I'm almost certain he's probably off the grid. But he, like I said, I run I-80 up there, used to run it a lot between Central California and Salt Lake City. And he's been out there for at least a couple of years that I know of. And I've been back in town running local for about the last year. And I still have friends that run up there. And they still, you know, they say that he's still up there. I bought some radios from him and I've had some radios repaired. But I just my thought when I heard about everything, you know, is that you were thinking it may be a couple or, you know, maybe two people or something like that. I don't know, something in the back of my mind just kind of snapped and said, you know, I wonder, they may not be the people, you know, anybody that's out there that's doing any, you know, anything wrong, but it's just the mere fact that they're up there all the time and always traveling that highway, you know, they may have seen something.
Yeah, Hugh, that's a good suggestion, because whether or not they know anything about this, they certainly would be in a position to know a heck of a lot of the truckers that go through there.
Exactly, and they're talking to, you know, I used to talk to them all the time when I was running across there. You know, I'd holler out for them every now and then, and, you know, depending on where I was at, and, you know, that's how I figured out where they were at. So
tell me this, how would Curtis find them?
Run on a, you know, Interstate 80, and when you get around Winnemucca or you get around Elko or down there by the Salt Flats, those are the three places that I, you know, that's where I found them. Just have a CB radio and have it, you know, set on channel 19 and just get on the radio and call out, you know, just basically, is there anybody out here that can, you know, that fixes radios? Anybody out here that's got a mobile radio repair or something like that? And they'll call you back.
Curtis, does this strike you as
I found him the first time?
Okay, Curtis, does this strike you as a useful suggestion?
Yeah, most definitely, because that would be somebody then that just what we're looking for, somebody that's out there consistently on the highway, and like you said, George, not necessarily maybe the bad guy in this case, but somebody that was out there and may have heard something that evening, because that's the whole key. Somebody, you know, there's enough traffic out there. It's not absolutely desolate. I mean, there's traffic out there continually, and most of it is the big rigs. So somebody drove by the night of April 13th, and they saw those headlights off the freeway. Just somebody had to see something.
Well, this is somebody who would be, like I said, where I've seen him at the truck stops, and he hangs around the truck stops a lot. So if you're looking for a particular truck or a particular trailer, one of your callers said something about looked like one of the back doors was damaged and replaced. You know, that's something that sticks out. You know, he may know something that he doesn't know that he knows.
Right.
So, you know, like I said, I check around the truck stops, holler out for the mobile radio repair, and I wish, to be completely honest with you, I could remember the handle that he goes by, but I can't. I'm sorry. But I know he's still up there. He and his wife are still up there. They're still running, because I talked to a friend of mine about 2-3 weeks ago, and he said, yeah, so he stopped and had his radio fixed by the same guy.
Hugh, we appreciate that tip, and I get the feeling that Curtis, being the resourceful guy he is, can run that down. Thanks for that call. First-time caller Robert, who is trucking in Texas. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning. I don't want to be the bad one here, but I know you said that there was a couple cars that was blocked, well, that was stopped at the same exit, and there was a couple caves around there.
Did you say gangs?
No, caves, like the mines.
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah.
Now, my family's from Kentucky, and we got old coal mines down where we live at. And if somebody don't want to find something, you know, they just find a cave and bye-bye. Now, yeah. I mean, I don't want to be the one that want to suggest this, but, I mean, do you guys have more than just one diamond or one gold cave out there that maybe there's a couple of them?
Yeah, there's, you know, there's all throughout Nevada, you know, especially northern Nevada, we're littered with old mine sites and what have you. And but one of the issues, and we explored that and looked at that as well, but one of the issues we're looking at with Pat is, again, this timeline of knowing when he was stopped on, you know, on that Wednesday night, and then the car being discovered the next morning, and then that distance from Wells, Nevada, to where the car was abandoned would be a roughly about a 3-hour trip. So then
that puts Pat at this 205 off ramp at about midnight. So for kind of the scenario where you're going, and it's a viable one, and believe me, one that we thought of. But you're talking, it's the middle of the night, pitch black, no moon that night, and you would have to specifically, very specifically, know where any of the open mine shafts or sites would be out in that area. If Pat, you know, if something happened to him specifically out of the area. But that's, again, we go back to the long haul idea that if he ended up in a truck, he could be anywhere. He could be in Washington. He could be in Oregon. He could be in Central California.
Okay. Appreciate. Now, I drive for Continental Express, and we have three team drivers that run I-80 all the way out to Salt Lake City, Utah, and all the way down to Fort Worth, Texas. So we always have a driver up there. Now, would it be all right to give them that picture of the two semis? That way they can try to...
Most definitely. And again, it's not the road techs. We're not concerned about that. It's the semi to the left is the one that we're trying to figure out what that semi is.
Yeah, right. By all means, Robert, give that picture to anyone you think might be interested in helping out. Distribute it far and wide. Yeah.
Anywhere you want.
Appreciate the call, Robert. Trucking in Texas, we appreciate your suggestion and good thinking there, because the Curtis has been thinking along the same lines. Curtis, we got about a minute or so, maybe 2 minutes before the next break. Give me an idea about the crime picture along I-80. I mean, you generally think of it as a peaceful string of towns, but you have crime like anyone else. I'm just wondering if you have organized crime, gangs, it's that sort of thing that might suggest an avenue to pursue.
No, it's very rural, George. Our gang problem is pretty nominal in this country. We do have events that occur on the interstate. Obviously, the number one thing is accidents and many, many fatalities. Unfortunately, especially when the weather gets bad, we'll have a lot of instances where we may get amber alerts and what have you. People traveling through and abductions or what have you of children that our agency has been successful in making arrests on because of the interstate, both I-80 and also 95 going north and south. But you do have problems at these rest stops. We've had armed robberies at the rest stops where people kind of what somebody had mentioned before, the robbery motive. We've had people that go into a rest stop and the next thing they know, they're held up by somebody without a state plates on the car and then they jump back on the interstate. By the time we get the call, and again, because of the isolation, the person is long gone. So
okay. Well, look, I told you a while ago that it's up to you if you want to stick around. We've still got full phone lines. We've still got all these emails coming in. I don't want to kill you guys, but Jim Carnes and Curtis Cull, if you want to stick around, we'll continue to take calls and talk to folks about this.
I will.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll be back with more. I'm George Knapp, in for George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM.